Got 15 minutes to spare?
Then you've got time for Extra Easy, our new short, sharp sister show to The Speakeasy with Annie and Carla.
Annie, 2018.
Oh my God, already.
Welcome
here we
back.
Are again, back in the Speakeasy Lounge, or the Easy Lounge, as we might call this one.
And I think this is the first time we've been in the Easy Lounge together. Is
yeah,
that right?
I think it might be. I think, you know, well, you know, I've now moved back to Sydney after 20 years, which is really interesting and loving it, actually really loving it. So it's been a good move. But, yeah, I think I've had some visits here before for Speakeasy, the longer version, but not Extra Easy. So.
Yeah.
Here we
are.
Wow,
get used to it.
I know, and gosh, it's just come around so quickly. I felt like it was only like 2 weeks ago we were saying, and that's a wrap for the year, and here we are again. But stuff's been going on. As always.
Yes, it's always.
Stuff always goes on, but, you know.
Do you want, what's been going on for you?
Well, I, you know, kind of an interesting issue today, a toot and froed about raising this one, but it is one a little close to my heart. As some of our, probably a lot of our listeners know, I'm on methadone myself. And so this one sort of struck a bit of a chord with me when I heard about it in the media and elsewhere. But basically people are probably also aware of the backstory, which is a really tragic situation where there's a serious fatal car accident, multiple fatalities on Boxing Day in the southern coast of New South Wales. And it involved Jessica Falcourt, I think is how you say now. I hope I am pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
But she was an actor on Home and Away, among other things, and so sort of reasonably well known. So she was one of the people who died in the accident subsequently, didn't die straight away. But the guy who was in the car on his own, as it transpired, was on methadone.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I guess, has turned into quite a saga subsequently. So Jessica's parents died instantly, as did the driver, Craig Whittle, who was on methadone, and her sister subsequently also died. So it's, you know, five people. Serious
terrible.
Accident. Yeah, really terrible situation. But what has kind of happened is, you know, really what caught my eye was the media reporting of that immediately after. So there's lots of sort of talk about, you know, and making, I think, more than was necessary out of the fact that he was on methadone as a kind of character assassination, almost like that in itself. Oh, there you go,
there
you know,
you go.
That's enough said type thing. And then, of course, other aspects came out. And I think that's, needs to be remembered, really hard for his family, because his son has also been on media and social media saying how much he loved his dad and how important his dad was to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said things like, you know, I don't care what anybody else says about you, you know. And you could just tell that, you know, he and his family, you know, are really hurting as well from this. So I think that's important to remember that. These are not just, you know, it's, I think quite often people on methadone and using illicit drugs and stuff can be sort of these faceless kind of almost non-humans.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But I guess, you know, the other side is that there was a local MP who lobbied the Attorney General and the Roads Minister here to, and subsequently New South Wales Health has formed a working group to basically on the back of this review methadone and I think in many ways to review methadone sort of policy sort of broadly, but in particular in relation to people on methadone being able to drive. Now, I think this is a really slippery slope, personally, not just because I'm on methadone, but because I'm on methadone, I do know the potential impact that could have.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, what's worth saying, I think, ahead of this working group getting down to its work is that, you know, I don't think methadone really can be singled out from other prescription medications.
Yeah.
There are lots of prescription medications that can potentially lead to sedation and drowsiness, depending on how they're used. But methadone is well known. There's no evidence to suggest that it's, you know, impairs your cognitive function any more than other prescription medications. And indeed, when you're stabilised on methadone, the evidence is, in fact, that it doesn't impair your cognitive ability to any significant effect. So I think, you know, my concern would be, you know, there's so few flexibilities associated with methadone when you're on it. It is really quite a strict program. And, you know, we do say that methadone in part is on about, you know, encouraging people to get on with their lives and get back to work.
Returning to normality, whatever
exactly,
that is.
Whatever that is. But, you know, getting, say, perhaps back to work or staying in work, you know, family commitments, children, all those things. And, you know, you can't do that without, you know, being able to act, you know, drive and do basic things, so get on with your life. But I think the other thing is that perhaps hasn't been thought about is how that might impact on the attractiveness of treatment.
Yeah.
So it could very much, you know, push people away from treatment, I think. Do we really want people just, you know, continuing to use, you know, say something like heroin problematically and it you know, doesn't work for them just because they don't want the these kind of restrictions in their lives? Or we're still people kind of have to go underground and are driving illegally anyway and all of the consequences that come with that. So I just think it's, you know, a bit of a slippery slope and really words of caution and really to say lots of people will be out there driving on prescription medications of all kinds, not the least of which are benzos. Which arguably could cause impairment. But we're not saying if there's an accident with someone involving benzos, we don't ever argue to put a ban on everyone on benzos driving. I mean, you know, it's really not sensible. So that's my
been following this case at all. I saw the first reporting of it where methadone featured in the headline, and I referred it via Twitter to the AOD Media Watch, and we had Stephen Bright on our on Speakeasy talking about that. And so I haven't really followed it since. I had a bit of a news free zone over something which was great, but you know, it's also interesting that this is part of the review and it or part of the wash up from that horrific and tragic accident, and it risks obscuring some other factors that may have contributed to the accident, like road situation and need for re-engineering it or whatever. And perhaps that's a naive view and that's already been done, but
it's a good point, actually, because in this particular case, as to the extent that I know the details, it is that they actually haven't been able to ascertain whether drugs, legal or illegal, had anything to do with the accident. Right. Not the least of which is because the injuries were so horrific because the cars burst into flames and stuff. They haven't been able to, they just can't get that evidence.
Yeah.
So they're not ever going to probably know that.
Yeah.
But they are, even without that, jumping to all of these kind of really quite direct conclusions without actually any evidence, let alone even some. It's just circumstantial.
So that'd be, you know, an incredible thing to come back and keep talking about.
I think we should monitor it and see how it goes.
Yeah,
for sure. What about you?
Well, I'm
what's been grabbing your attention?
Completely frivolous now because I did
have what's needed.
I did have a really nice long summer break. And look, I'm not claiming this to be my usual thing, but, you know, it's summer and you can't be out being fabulous every day. Some days you do need like a bit of a home rest day. And on those days, I may have been on the lounge tootling through the television channels, trying to find some cricket or some tennis to watch.
And so what's your guilty pleasure then?
I just happened to stumble across America's Favourite Dr. Phil.
Oh,
and I couldn't believe it, Annie, because
he's still on, is he?
Oh, every day. But his tagline is something very similar to something we might say.
Oh, yeah?
His tagline is a safe place to talk about hard things.
Oh,
and Annie, when you wrote our tagline, I believe it was
my fault.
A comfortable space to talk about uncomfortable topics. It seems remarkably similar. Now, you don't have to open up to...
Yeah, no, okay.
You know,
all right, I admit it. Sorry, Dr. Phil. I stole your line. Well, look, not to say that we have anywhere near the kind of budget or even, dare I say it, the listener profile that he has.
Well, but, you know, we can dream.
I do think we do fit the tag of a comfortable space for uncomfortable topics, I think ours was. But nevertheless, I take your point. That is really funny. That's great.
I've got two other little quick things as well. And one of them, again, seems a little bit frivolous, but I was able to start swimming again this summer because I've had a shoulder injury and it's been about 18 months since I've been able to swim. And I love it. And the first time back in the pool, I thought, why do I like it so much? So for those about to embark on a PhD, maybe this isn't a great story to hear, but about a month before, and this is a million years ago, a month before I was going to hand my thesis in, my boyfriend dumped me. You know who you are.
Not mentioning any names, but yeah.
And I
he will be listening, of course.
I'm sure. And I'm totally over it, right? And I wasn't a great swimmer, but I found swimming was the only place in which I couldn't cry. And it has such a sense of joy and peace for me, you know. And through all the kind of yucky stuff that followed that and trying to get that thesis submitted, it was something I've taken through my whole life now, yeah. of a place where, and like I said, I got in the pool again and couldn't even really work out why I loved it yeah. so much. But it is that one place of joy and peace.
Yeah, a happy
for me.
Place.
A happy
hey?
Place. And oh, so I think that's gosh. It. I wish I'd discovered it earlier in yeah. my PhD yeah. experience, actually, yeah. as a way to transport yourself somewhere else and get rid of the or move Clear, away yeah. from the stresses and strains of
yeah.
studying.
Clear so. The head. Very nice. I yes. love it. What a yes. what a lovely story, actually. Now, someone about who is about to embark on a PhD, maybe I need to find my happy place, obviously, is the message.
Whatever
there.
It takes, I think. Anyway, the last thing I want to say is a little bit less about me and more about the bigger, wider world. But, you know, I'm such a fascinating topic. Everyone's so in there. Anyway, I came across Peter Higgs, who we've also had as a guest on our lovely little program, tweeted something just recently, a video about the prison NSP in Luxembourg.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like 4.5 minutes or so, and it explains why prison NSPs work, what they do, okay. and how this particular model works.
Fantastic. And I haven't seen it, actually. So yeah. I saw the tweet, but I actually
right.
haven't looked at the video yet.
Yeah, so we should put it up on the website too. Mm. And like, what a terrific way to explain what's a really controversial
For sure.
and polarizing
yeah.
topic,
yeah. Yeah.
And that it's out there. And guess what? The sky hasn't fallen in because yeah. we can talk about it
Funny
in a positive
that.
Way.
Hey,
you so, know. You know, and it's so hard to find information about prison NSPs because there's so few of them.
Yeah.
And I guess yeah. the corrections authorities don't publicise them too much.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
last count, there was like 8 countries
yeah,
in the world that have
right.
them. So,
yep.
so few,
yeah,
a
exactly.
drop in the ocean.
Yep.
And they might
and
not
some
be...
of them had closed because
yeah.
of funding disappearing or political pressure
yeah.
or whatever.
That's right. They remain incredibly
yeah,
vulnerable.
Yeah, that's right.
So I thought it was a really nice piece of public education,
yeah.
And I'm sure
Do you
there's...
think something that could be used with people who know little about the
yeah.
topic, say, you know, parliamentarians
exactly.
or policy people or something?
Yeah.
yeah,
it might be even a bit too long for them,
okay.
you know, 4.5 minutes.
You
need like the 40-second version,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
But I thought it was yeah. just a terrific way to communicate. It's, yeah. it's demonstrate. There's still some kind of interesting things like people sort of have to be prescribed to needles.
Right, so it's a more of a medical model
yes,
with
absolutely.
Health services,
yeah.
Prison-based services providing the program or people coming
yeah,
in from outside?
I wasn't
providing
sure.
Them, yeah.
It was a Medico, but I'm not
yeah.
sure exactly
who they
worked
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the needles have to be on display so they're
yeah,
in
right.
the cell. So there's still that issue of outing
yeah.
oneself
mm.
and that will be
yep.
attractive to some people and not others.
That's right.
And at different times, I guess,
yeah,
depending
work
on
in
what,
some places mm. and not others, yeah. I mean, that was certainly the thing from the last time I was engaged on that issue. Certainly the body of evidence around seemed to be suggesting that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach by
yeah.
any means and that depending on the environment, different models would work. And in fact, in any given environment, you could have multiple models
yeah.
at work
yeah.
to meet different people's needs and different
yeah.
preferences and stuff, and if you really want to make it work, you would have a variety of things going
and,
on.
And that's how it works in the community, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We know things
yeah.
are attractive for different people and at different times of the day and night and
of
at
course.
Different times of
yeah.
their experience. So, you know, will we ever get a prison service that gets that point? Mm. God, it's just...
I mean, here we are sitting sort of going, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have multiple options?
Just one.
One option in one prison anywhere in the country. Now that, you know, would be worth celebrating. But
yeah.
nevertheless, we can live in hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we not?
Well, that's a good way to start. So this year
What's
on Speakeasy, we've
around.
Already got a great lineup
we
of
have.
Speakers.
We
I think
have.
We're kicking off with Michael Kirby. And
that's right, I know. And we have Marion Jauncey from MSET coming and the fabulous Ingrid Van Beek,
yes.
who's a legend in the area, so and others already
yep.
that we're lining up and talking to. So,
yep.
yeah.
But if our vast listenership has suggestions, please get in touch with us
yeah,
on Twitter
absolutely.
On Speakeasy and
yeah,
let us know.
People you'd like to hear from that you want to be into. Hear an interview with, we do a more in-depth show with Speakeasy
yep.
and we've realised in some of the previous interviews we've done, people do go back and listen to them and sometimes they go on to be very important interviews.
Yeah,
exactly. That we didn't realise at the time were going
yes.
to be as important as they are.
So let's
yep.
let's end with marking that because we have lost a dear soul, Jenny Kelsall, just a few weeks ago and it was terrific to have
yep.
that interview that we did with her
Absolutely.
About 18 months ago. ago.
And if you haven't listened to it, you really should go back and have a listen. It's a lovely, lovely interview in which Jen reflects back on her journey in the area, how she first came to Australia from New Zealand and why, and just her, you know, both personal and professional reflections. And I think it's really... It's a real testament to who Jen was and her incredible contribution. So really glad we did that. And it's a nice example of what Speakeasy can be.
Yeah, good.
All righty, we're off and running.
Let's go.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay, back to the pool.
Bye.
For more information about this podcast, our guests, and upcoming episodes, head to http://csrh.arts.unsw.edu.au.